an unpleasant person. One who spoiled other people's fun and joy. Come on, I tell you, let's meet the Grinch who stole Christmas because of his bitterness. He was the resident grouch of Whoville, living high above the halls of Mount Crepus, with his dog Max and usually watching people as they go by. The Grinch, who is a who-hater, say who-hater, who tried to change the atmosphere of Christmas. So even though we know, Douglas, that the Grinch is a fictional character that was created by Dr. Seuss, however, we understand that today we have some modern day Grinches. Some folk always trying to steal your Christmas. Understand that the Grinch who stole the Christmas had a reason for growing so bitter. You see, as a child, we understand that the Grinch was picked on for being green and having hair long and his beard being long. And we understand that he was bullied. He was talked about. He was made fun of. Come out and tell you, Douglas, if you show me a child today who has not been picked on in the classroom, you show me a person today who have not been talked about, you show me a person today who have not been lied on, then I will show you baby Jesus. Because we understand that baby Jesus was talked about. Baby Jesus was lied on. Baby Jesus was ridiculed. And I come out and tell you that this was the same way that the Grinch, because the Grinch was talked about, he was disowned by the people. But how many of you know that we have some modern day Grinches in our lives? And so as we look at this particular text, we find where John the Baptist had a purpose that was unwavering, and he had a purpose to proclaim the coming of the Savior. Notice that John didn't get in the way of his purpose. He knew that he was not the way. Sometimes folks think that they are the way, but how many of you know that you may not be all the way? How many of you know that sometimes he gets in the way? And so John, he wanted to remind them that, look, I'm not the way. The real way is coming, but I come to prepare the way for the one who is the way. We understand that we are living in this season of preparation. That like we all, every year, we are preparing our hearts, we are preparing our minds and our spirits to receive the coming of the Messiah. So we understand that John boldly that makes this declaration to produce this unconcealing expectancy. And I come out to tell you, Douglas, that when you come into the house of the Lord, you got to come into the house of the Lord expecting to receive something. When you come in into the place, you are already have in mind what it is that you want God to do for you. And you should come in expecting to have it already done. So even when you come in, you ought to come in rejoicing in the Lord. Because how many of you know that this is that the Lord is the reason for the season? He's the one that makes us hopeful. He's the one that gives us the strength. He's the one that gives us what we need. And so John, he makes it clear when the Messiah will show up that he will straighten all things out. How many of you know when God shows up that he straightens everything that you need, he straightens it out. And he don't leave things just undone, but God fixes everything that he needs fixing in your life. And we understand that the Israelites, they were living under some Roman pressure. You know we all live under some pressure sometimes. We go through some pressure even in America today. There's a lot of pressure that is going on. And there's a lot of things that they try to get you down. How many of you know that you can't allow the riches of our society to keep you down? They were the minority group. Say minority group. Yeah, they were the minority group within a wider society that was constantly looking back and trying to find this kingdom. But how many of you know that Jesus didn't come to fulfill the kingdom that they thought that he was going to fulfill? They wanted him to do one thing, but that wasn't his purpose. His purpose was to build upon the kingdom that he talks about. We understand that the news of the Messiah had was coming, and it had spread excitement all around the city. In We understand that everybody was excited about the coming of the kingdom of Jesus. But how many of you know that everybody's not going to always be excited about Jesus? Because there are some folk that's not excited about this season. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but there's some folk that don't want to give God praise for this season. There's some folk who will care less about the Christmas season. There's some folk who will tell you, you know what, you can't even talk about Christmas anymore. You got to say Xmas. We have a whole lot of folk that's not studying the Christmas season. Much like the Grinch. Modern day Grinches are people who want to rob you of your experiences of encounter the true Emmanuel. They want to rob you of your strength. They want to rob you of your songs. They want to rob you of your faith. They want to rob you of your joy and hope. Because the Grinch was bitter because of being picked on. How many of you know that some folk are just bitter because of the situation that has happened in their life? But how many of you know that this is a time that we need to go and we need to pick up all of the pieces and we need to learn how to get all of those riches and get them back to where God wants them to be? I want to go ahead with this. And so when we see this taking place, we sometimes lose the true perspective of what Christmas or the season really means. How many of you know that there are some folk that are joy stealers? There are some people that will try to steal your joy. And all of us at one time or another have had our joy threatened by people. Undoubtedly so, we have also been the ones that who have helped steal someone else's joy. If you just be transparent with me, we're going somewhere there. We understand that there are a lot of, say, people problems. Yeah, there's a lot of people problems in our society today. And you probably ask, well, one of the worst problems to have is the problem with people. There's some folk that's going through the season right now that's going to have some problems with family members. They're going to have problems with their friends. They're going to have problems with their co-workers. And even sometimes in the church, we have problems with our Christian brothers and sisters. And we try to overcome it. How many of you know that you can't allow people to keep you down? You can't allow people to rob you of your joy. Because the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We cannot be isolated as Christians. We cannot go through this season with bitterness. But how many of you know that the Bible said that we are the light? And we are the light of the world. And we are the salt of the earth. And sometimes the light grows dim in our lives. Sometimes the salt becomes bitter because of the actions of people. We understand here in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul, he talks about his own struggle with people. You know, you're going to have some struggles with people. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how full of the Holy Ghost you have. You're going to have some struggles with some folk. Because some folk is going to get on your nerves. Some folk is going to step on your toe. Some folk is going to hurt your feelings. But you've got to pick your feelings back up and understand that you serve a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask. We understand that Paul had his own struggles. Paul had his own persecution. Paul had his own things that was going on. But yet Paul wanted the Christians of Philippi, he wanted them to understand that in spite of people problems, that they could still have joy. I come by to tell you that in spite of the situations that you're going to trump over, I come by to tell you that is that you can still have joy. I know it's cold in here, but you can still have joy. Hello, somebody. Yeah, you can still have joy because he tells us here in the key verse that is found here. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. He says, again, I say, rejoice. Come out and tell you that Christianity is not about the glooms and the dooms of the way that the world is doing to us, but it's all about the reason for the season. That we understand that Jesus came to save us. Hello, somebody. And we understand that the Holy Ghost lives within us. And we are all on our way to that promising place. But how many of you know that Satan does not want us to be joyful people? See, I come by to tell you that Satan has an assignment. He knows that he's doomed and gloom, but the one thing that he does is he wants somebody to go down with him. Hello, somebody. You know, misery loves comfort. Hello, somebody. I said misery loves comfort. There's some folk who would just want to get on you, and there's some folk that want to hang around you and make you feel bad because they've been feeling bad because all things have not been working right in their life. But I come by to tell you that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So therefore, you can't allow these modern-day riches to get in your way and steal your Christmas. Come by to tell you that you can't let nothing steal your Christmas. And we allow sometimes our circumstances to kill our Christmas. We allow the situations to try to defeat us. But how many of you know that you're not defeated? God said that I have given you everything that you need. That the Bible said that you are more than, you're not just conquering, but you're more than a conqueror. So therefore, you've got to look to the hills when come at your help and understand that your help comes from the Lord. No matter what people say about you, no matter how people treat you, I come by to tell you that God has given you an unspeakable joy. And so the text tells us, Paul teaches us some keys of the secret. Say secret of contentment. Yeah, we got to have the secret of contentment. He says here, he says that we have to understand that we have to keep joy in our hearts. That when we rely upon Christ for the power to prevail over our circumstances, that we always come out victorious. Watch what the text says. Paul says in verse 10 of Philippi, in Philippians, he says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at least your care for me, it has flourished again. Though you surely did care, he says, but you lack the opportunity. In other words, Paul said that I'm going to keep the contentment in my life. I want to tell you something, Douglas, that you cannot allow things that cause you to waver from God. In other words, Paul said, he said that the Lord gave me a reason to be full of joy. So sometimes you just got to go back over your life and you got to look at your life and what God has brought you out of, and then you got to understand that that's a reason that you need to give God some praise. When I look up to this morning and when the alarm clock went off this morning and I got up and got on my bed and jumped in the shower, that was enough to give God some praise. But the truth of the matter is that somebody didn't wake up this morning. The truth of the morning is that somebody didn't have the activity of their living. And so I come by to tell you that we got a reason to give God some praise. Because we got a reason, because God woke us up this morning. Hello, somebody. He started us on our way. Watch what the text says. It says that I am saying this because I am not in need, but in everything I am content with whatever situation that I am in. You got to learn to be content about the situation that you're in. You got to learn to be content and never allow the riches of life to hold you down. But you can allow the riches of life to keep you from the will of God. You know, folk will try to get you out of the will of God, but you've got to learn to stay the course. I want to go have a witness. And so we understand that the secret of the contentment is staying connected to Jesus. Yes. If you want to stay in good fit, you've got to stay connected to the source. Say it's connected to the source. Yeah. It's just like these heaters. These heaters have to, in order for them to work, they have to be connected to the power source in order for the heat to come out. And I come by to tell you, Douglas, that you've got to stay connected to the power source. And so we understand that Paul had his experiences of trials that made things worse by every day, but he seemed to never lose hope. We understand that Paul, he was beaten. The Bible said that he was stoned to death. He was shipwrecked. He was hungry. He was misunderstood. He didn't get his name called all of the time. And how many of you know that you're going to be misunderstood? That you're going to be shipwrecked. You're going to be hungry at times. People ain't going to understand some things that are happening in your life. But how many of you know that you got to stay content, knowing that God is able to do what God has said that he can do? Because Paul said that I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. In other words, as long as you are connected to the power source, then you are connected to the strength of God. Hello, somebody. And that's enough to be contentful about. And so the second point that I want to, talk to you about, and then I'm going to go to my seat, and that is trusting in God's power to provide all of your needs. Yeah, you got to learn to trust in God's power and allow God's power to supply all of your needs. The apostle says here in verse 18, he says that I have everything that I need. How many of you know that God has given you everything that you need? He said that this is not that I speak of the gift, but he said that I seek of the fruit. And so Paul wanted to let them know that he had appreciated what they had done for him. But how many of you know that sometimes we got to just learn to ask God and tell God that we appreciate all of the things that God has done for us? In other words, I come out and tell you, Douglas, that true joy comes when we know that we have helped somebody. Hello, somebody. True joy comes from when we have known them, that we have seen somebody along the way and we have helped them along the way. I don't know about you, but I get joy when I can help somebody. Hello, somebody. And so Paul, he says, and my God, when you help somebody, how many of you know that God will supply all of your needs? The Bible says that he shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. That when you got to learn, Douglas, to trust in the power of God and not allow the riches of society to steal your joy. And so as I begin to close here on today, we understand that the story says that one day, it says that one thing that the Grinch hated the most. And the story goes on that the one thing that the Grinch hated the most was the noise of Christmas. He hated the sound of Christmas. And I come out to tell somebody that the Bible tells us that Satan hates the noise of Christmas. Satan hates the noise of God. But I'm reminded that the Bible says that when we come into the house of the Lord, the Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. If you really want to upset the devil, if you really want to upset the riches of life, I dare you to begin to lift up the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says that the name of Jesus is a strong tower. And it allows you, when you're going through trials and tribulations, that you can run in and be safe. I come out and tell you that the name of Jesus is greater than any other name. The Bible says that what name that have you been saved, but except by the name of Jesus. If you have sickness in your body, I pray to call the name of Jesus. If you have sickness in your body, I pray to call on the name of Jesus. Joy, I pray to call on the name of Jesus. And then because the name of Jesus will give you the hope that you need. The name of Jesus will set you free. The name of Jesus will bring you out. You
then when I pick up the newspaper, 3. Because the devil don't want to keep you connected to God. The Lord will tell me to read something, and on my way to pick up my Bible, I'll stop by the TV and I'll see something that I want to watch on TV. And I wind up watching what I wanted to watch on TV instead of going to pick up the Bible. I'm just trying to tell you about being transparent. Then the Lord will hear me up. A lot of times, I just say, ouch. Yes, Lord. The Lord told me. Jonah, to go to Nineveh, he decided to detour because he wanted to do what he wanted to do. Matter of fact, he didn't think those people should have been delivered anyway. What are you saying, Pastor? There's times when the Lord tells us to do a thing, and sometimes we don't feel like doing it. But then the Lord has to chastise us. Now, chest, you see, is great. It doesn't feel good. But as a true child, I don't know about you, but my mother will give us some good whoopings. Why did Pastor Nelson is saying, why is he saying what he's saying? Because there are times where the enemy would try to steal your joy, was trying to keep you from the will of God. How many of you know that it's not in the will of God for you to be bitter? It's not God's will for you to walk around this season, his season, getting wrapped up into the commercialization of Christmas, worrying about how many gifts that you're going to get, who's going to buy you a gift, or how you're going to buy someone else a gift. Tend to lose sight on the real gift. The gift that came over 2,000 years ago. We get caught up in these relationships. Folk get on your nerve and hurt your feelings. And you live all year long hurt, and then when this season comes, you still hurt. There's some people that are losing loved ones, as I see right now. But even in spite of that, Jesus is still the reason. He's still worthy to be praised. He's still worthy to be lifted up. I talk about me because I want you to know that sometimes the Grinches of life talks to you and allow you to be bitter. But you have to learn to stay connected to God. By staying connected means by having the joy of the Lord being your strength. As we transition in this time, as we wait for the coming of the Messiah, the theme for this week is refining, renewing. The one thing about God, and we're closing with this, that he renews us even when we have not done everything that we have supposed to have done.
Amen.
Not every day that you want to walk around feeling saved, but you know you're saved. Hello, somebody. Not every day that you're going to walk around feeling good, but you know you're good. Hello, somebody. And so, throughout this year, the rest of this year, instead of focusing on the negativity of the grinches of society, focus on the hope of the King of Glory. At the end of the story, we find out that the Grinch transition became a part of Christmas. Hello, somebody. You read the story. He was transformed. God has transformed many of us. We were the Grinches. But now we can move into the expectation of God. If you're in the room today, and this word has touched your heart some kind of way, spoke to you, I just want to ask you to hold your hand up. I'm going to ask for you to come down. But the point that I'm trying to make is that when God sends a word, sometimes we may get wrapped up into the style of what a person is saying, but forget about the real level. The word says, prepare the way for the Lord. Make his way straight. We talk about the Grinches. Don't allow stuff to keep you from making your way straight for God. This is a year of reflection. Taking out everything that needs not to be and keeping the heart of Jesus Christ in our hearts. The Lord says, pray for me. Can I pray for you?